This is Cynthia Ganoff, and you are listening to the Mesmerized Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to Mesmerized. It is May, and I like to call May the kickoff to crazy. When everything starts, it's all the ball is rolling behind us like an Indiana Jones. It is coming fast, chasing after us with all that needs to happen for end of school and then going into the summer where all routine is out the window. And because of that, I'm super excited. I am kicking off a new series on Mesmerize where we are going to answer the how do I questions. How do I fill in the blank? And we're going to talk about it. And so it's going to be like, this week, how do I cheerlead other moms? We're going to talk about how do I have a healthy marriage? How do I grieve? How do I survive the summer with my teens? How do I deepen friendships? How do I save money? How do I work through a really hard diagnosis with my kids? How do I manage menopause? We're going to do all of it. There's so many different ones that we are going to cover the next couple of months. And I'm excited because I think these will be very practical. They will be very biblical. We will have guests on that are experts in this area and have walked it well, friends of mine, some of them will be, and then others are just experts I know that can speak well into a topic, but they're going to give us five tips for each topic. And so whatever we're going through, one of them, like, how do I grieve? My friend Abby Reich will be on, and she has five tips on how to work through grief in your life. And so my hope is they will be faster this summer, and you will take a minute to listen. They'll be very practical, and they will help us all live each day better in the midst of the crazy. And so I'm excited to be kicking this off. Okay, let me tell you something else. We are going to do that for the summer, the next few months. However, each month, the third week of the month, Heather McFadden and I will have a surprise episode coming to you. Most of you know, if you don't know this, you need to know it now. I will link it in podcast notes. But Heather and I do something called Sidetracked on her podcast, Don't Mom Alone. It's once a month. And Sidetracked is just the two of us getting together and talking and being sidetracked. And it has been super popular. I've had it on this show once. Well, we've been asked to expand it by so many people. And so for the next couple of months, we'll see if we keep it up. For the next couple of months, though, we are going to do an additional Sidetracked episode where we surprise each other with a guest. And so we will be releasing it on both of our shows. So once a month, Sidetracked Surprise will be on this show, Mesmerized. And so you'll see that coming in too. So to net it out, most of the weeks of our new series will be how do I blank, fill in the blank, and then we'll have once a month a surprised Sidetrack episode for the next few months. And so that's what's getting ready to come your way. Now, I want to thank you because I asked you guys to leave a review for the podcast for Mesmerize last week. I said, would you take a minute to do that? You guys, you have come in clutch. Thank you for doing that. Will you continue to do that? Because you know what? It is almost the 1 year anniversary of Mesmerized, and I am so thrilled about that. Man, I could tell some stories about God's goodness in it. I could tell some stories about some discouragements, everything in between. But we are coming up on 1 year of Mesmerize. So if you would continue leaving reviews, how the podcast is impacting you, what it means to you, help other people find it. If you would share it with friends, that would be amazing, especially during this series coming up. As you're hearing podcasts and you're like, oh my gosh, my friend so-and-so needs to hear this as we talk about, like, I don't know, how do I save money or how do I care for aging parents? Like, when you think of people that need to hear it, if you would just forward it on, that would be amazing. And so I'm excited. Here we go with a new series. And today it's Courtney DeFeo. She is talking with me about how do I cheerlead other moms. I can't tell you how important this is and how much I think we need to really consider this. How do we do it well? Because so often we do not do it well. We don't cheer on other people well. And so today Courtney is here. She is someone who has cheerleaded me in the most significant of ways over the last year. We'll talk about at the beginning of the podcast. And she has five great tips you're not going to want to miss. And so today we'll kick it off with Courtney DeFeo. Courtney DeFeo, welcome to Mesmerized. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having me. I am doing well. I wish we were in the same room, but we can pretend.
We can pretend. It's so much more fun when in the same room. Okay, so obviously you host my old podcast, Pardon the Mess. And so first question is, do you like being interviewed more or do you like being the interviewer?
Oh, it's hard. Probably the interviewer, but I don't mind this at all. You know, I'm a chatty Kathy. On my progress reports, it said I got in trouble every year for she talks too much. And I'm like, okay, take that, Miss Cantrell, second grade. I'm like now getting paid to talk. So but so either I just like people, I like getting to know people's stories, and I like learning. So all the above.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that. It's hard for me, like when I'm on the other side of the mic, sometimes like I've been on a lot of different podcasts talking about my book. So they're interviewing me, but then they'll ask me a question, but then I catch myself wanting to ask it back. Like, well, what's your favorite thing when you go to Disney World? And then I'm like, oh, wait.
I know. It's like, wait, who's the host here?
Sorry about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyway. Is it crazy to think a year and a half ago, we didn't even know each other? Like, how cool is that? Like, if you think about it, God is like really creative and fun. I love that he merged our worlds and we didn't even see it coming.
We did not. And so, here's the quick backstory on us. Correct anything, Courtney. Courtney and I did not know each other, but we knew of each other. We live in the same city, same area. And so when I left Pardon the Mess, the podcast, just over a year ago, I guess, they replaced me as host with Courtney. And so I didn't know Courtney at all, but I knew of her. We have lots of mutual friends. And so through that transition, which could have been awkward and difficult and all the things, like Courtney just came in like a champ. And, I attribute a lot of that. That's who Courtney is. I attribute a ton of it to that's who the Lord is. And he's just so good. And so we just kind of became friends through the process of it all. What am I missing or mischaracterizing? Anything?
No, that's right. I think there was no way to make it easy for you. I mean, this was your baby. You created it. It is like an honor to take it over, but that would be like handing someone your kid and be like, good luck. I just met you. That's a big thing to pass over. So I think you handled it graciously. And I love that God did use moments of just confirmation for both of us. You know what I mean? I really felt like when we had lunch together that day at Kay's house and I had heard your name and we had maybe messaged, but like looking you in the eye and saying like, I've got this. And I want to do well and honor the work you've done has been really sweet of the Lord on both of our ends. So I've loved the process and it's been messy, but mostly awesome.
Yeah, same. Well, and so as I was kind of thinking through the series that I wanted to do, like how do I kind of questions, how do I do this? How do I do it? One of the things that I really kept thinking about was like, how do we cheerlead other women well? Like, how do I support people? How do I cheer for other women? And there was no question in my mind as I thought through that. I'm like, literally not a question. I'm like, that's a Courtney DeFeo podcast because like, you haven't written a book about this. You aren't on here promoting anything. Like you've just lived it and I've watched it. And some of those moments where you can say, yeah, this isn't a person that wrote a book. This isn't a person that like, that's their platform. Like this is a person that like, this is how they live their life. And that's how you do it. And I got to not just observe it. It's not like I watched it because of an outsider, like I lived it because you did it for me. And so that's why I was like, okay, you're the person. And so then I asked you to do it and you're like, wait, what? Five things on, huh? And you're like, huh? I'm like, yes.
You're very kind. It's very, very important to me. I had a mom that just encouraged people all the time. I worked at Chick-fil-A headquarters years ago and they talked about it all the time to encourage people daily. And Truett Cathy said, how do you know if someone needs encouragement if they're breathing? And that just stuck with me. Like everybody needs it. So I don't know that I've always done it well. I think some of the things we'll talk about today are things that I learned the hard way. And I hope that I'm better now at 47 than I was at 27 or 37. I think as we cheerlead people on, it's a sign of growth and maturity in our faith to go like, it's not about us. God's always said it's about other people. It's never been about us. So thank you for saying that. It means a lot.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that quote. Yeah, that's amazing. Okay. So with nothing else, no further ado, if you will, let's start it off. Are you doing this in a certain order? Like, are we going from 5 to 1 and 1 to 5, or does it matter with your 5 pointers?
I think I'm building to the most important point. I have them numbered 1 to 5, but the last one would be the one I think we hang on to. So I'll end there.
Got it. Okay. What's number one?
Okay. Number one, I just put check your motive and your source. Like what is your why and why not? And so I think if we go why encourage, it's like, why not encourage? Why not cheerlead somebody else on? And if I look in my own heart, I'm like, oh, I was jealous. I was prideful. They hurt my feelings. So it's just like, I mean, I have 2 teenage girls. It's like so easy to go right back there to middle school. Like, well, she didn't post my book or well, she didn't tell me my jeans were cute. And it just gets real petty. So I have to get honest about my heart. Like, what is the holdup? It either for just encouragement in general, a cheerleading or for a particular person to go like, what is it, Lord? And I want to say here, like if someone has been a quote toxic friend or a harmful relationship, I'm not saying take the beating and then just keep loving on them. That's a whole different situation. But for the most part, for most relationships, I think we've got to check our motive and say, like, is this humility that's leading? Is it pride that's leading? And in Hebrews 3:13, it says, encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. I've always loved that verse. And then Hebrews 10:24, my mentor showed me this years ago, that says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Mm. And I'm like, that's the ball game. Like, I should be spurring you on, Cynthia. Like, you are talking about Jesus on your podcast, living out your calling, obeying God. Like, I would not be a good friend if I was not coming alongside you in that and spurring you on towards what God's calling you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense. Like, obviously on our level, on a podcast level, it makes sense on our friendship levels for whatever. Like, we're all, by and large, we're all trying to do the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to raise our kids, if we have kids, like, in a way, for a lot of us that are God honoring, we're trying to make our house into home. We're trying to maybe love our spouse well. Like, yeah. And I love that. Like, we're all kind of trying to do it right. We're all getting it wrong a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I love this. Check your motive. And maybe that's something we don't do often. Do you stop? And like, if you have like the grudge against someone or whatever, do you stop and you're like, what's behind that? And get curious with yourself. I think that's a good word. So,
well, I challenge my daughters. You see it in the teenage world and Instagram. They will purposely not comment on somebody's thing. I'm like, what is that? Like, what would hurt you to just be the one that says, hey, I'm proud of you. Like, even if you've had a squabble with them before, like, what is, so I think it's easy to see in others, but then I'm like, oh crap, I did that last week with somebody.
Totally. Yeah. Okay. What's number two?
Okay. Number two comes from, I wrote a mother-daughter study years ago called Treasured, and I was writing about some pain points with girls. And like I said, we're all just a flesh wound away from junior high wounds, but it says, be the friend you want to find. And as I thought about writing a chapter for young girls and their moms, I'm like, this is the thing you got to do. Be the friend you want to find. And I think as we're, and we can talk about young kids doing this, what we do, it's like, she didn't invite me to this party, so I'm not going to. Well, she didn't say she liked my skirt, so why should I say like her skirt? And you're like, girls, oh my gosh, only you can control your behavior. And so you start being the friend. If you want someone loyal, if you want someone that's going to talk kindly behind your back, if you want someone that's going to stick up for you, if you want someone that's gracious and forgiving and assumes the best, like, those are all a major good starting place. Like, that is a list we can start from, and that's all you can control. And it's hard for a little girl, and it's hard for an old girl like me, but it's really, I think, where it's a good place to start is be the friend you want to find.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a really good friend that lives in my neighborhood, and she went through a stage where her kids, for whatever reason, literally got invited to nothing. And she's like, it was one of the most painful times because, you know, you pick them up from school on the Friday afternoon and you see everybody jumping up in everyone else's cars. And she's like, oh my gosh. And so she said, I wanted to just give up and be mad at the school or mad at the kids or mad at these moms. And she goes, but I just kept telling my kids, like, okay, all we can control is our side of this. So we're going to invite them over. And she's like, was it hard to invite the kids that we knew had not invited our kid a week or two before, but she did it and did it again and did it again. And I'll say this, you know, friendships get fickle, right? And her kids were tried and true, and people came back to them because they knew that they were good friends. And so, on an adult level, same thing, right? Like, it's so easy for me to be, you know, when I don't get invited, to be like, well, they're knocked off my list for the next few of it, you know, whatever.
Right.
And
I
love that you're saying that. Yeah. Step into that.
I do think, just side note on that, is like, as we age, we realize, you know, I don't remember what that dating advice was. It's like, he's not that into you. It's like, he's not thinking badly of you. He's just not thinking of you. And I think that's the thing, is we make up these stories in our heads that there's this whole thing that Cynthia left me out and she forgot. When I'm like, I know who Cynthia is. Like, she's a friend and she's for me. And did she forget something? Maybe. Like, there's a reason. And so I think my younger self immediately jumps to, there's got to be something. They're against me. It's like, I've made up this whole rom-com in my head, when it's like, remember who your friends are and just keep moving. And if it's a big issue, I think you can circle back with a really tight friend say, hey, that felt funny. Like, can you explain that? But I would recommend sitting on it, because in the heat of the emotion and jealousy and sadness, you can jab out at somebody and be so embarrassed the next day. You're like, why did I not just sit on that for a night? But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I know when I'm working up a story in my head, because I'll say it, I'll tell it to my husband. I'll be like, well, you know, they didn't invite us this thing. And so it's obviously because they're mad from 3 years ago, that time that we did this, and we didn't, but the reason we didn't was because of this. And I'll go this whole thing. And he's like, what's going on in your head?
He's
able to step back for me so many times and be like, listen, you've made like 27 leaps that I don't think these people would ever have made. And so anyway, it's good to have like a sounding box around. It's
we can work for Hollywood. I feel like the scripts we're writing, we're like, man, we are so creative.
Yeah,
they're good. And we're so hard on, like, I think I'm just so hard on myself. And I just think, oh, people hate me. And it's like, no, like, assume the best about yourself and people's motives when you can.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, number three.
Okay, number three, don't keep score. So in 1 Corinthians, it says, love doesn't keep records of wrongs. And I'm noticing this with moms, even in the space that I'm in. It's like, hey, I picked up your girl from cheer, or like, you picked up my girl, I'll pick her up next time. Or you got her Sonic, I'll pay her back. I'm like, and that's just like the score thing, keeping records of wrong, or also keeping a tally system. And I'm like, that's not true friendship to me. Like, if we are truly cheerleaders for each other, I'm not waiting on you, Cynthia, to have me on your podcast so I can have you on mine, or you to invite me to dinner and a double date so I do the same. It's like, that's just not doable. And I don't think it's a good system. It sets us up for failure every time to me. And I have to check myself on that to go like, even if I did it the last three times, still, if you're feeling the nudge to invite the person over, invite the person over. But I do think I go back to that caution in the beginning and say, like, say you're on 20 years of a relationship and someone is consistently never calling you back, never making the effort, never saying one kind thing about you. I think you can ask the Lord about that and be like, is this something, a relationship that needs some distance? Is this healthy for me? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we can't go, I almost said tit for tat. What's the word? But like, point for point.
Are you too immature to use that expression?
I can't say tit for tat. Okay, you know what I mean? Like, it can't just be like one point, one point, one point. It's just, it doesn't work that way. And when seasons of people that are in their hardest times, they don't need us expecting stuff from them. We just need to show up for people.
That's the key word right there. As you were speaking, I'm like, expectation. And how much do we do that is good stuff, but we do it with this underlying motivation or expectation. And I think that gets us into trouble because people on the other side may not know, most likely do not know what that expectation is. And I think you're absolutely right. If we could just find ways that whatever we're doing, just assume that's never repaid and that's fine. And live in that mindset without the expectation, how freeing would that be versus like you're saying, like, yeah, I'm keeping score and well, you know, they haven't invited my kid. I've had their kid over three times or, you know, like all those things. And
well, as you're saying that, it makes me think about generosity. We do that with our money. It's like, if we give so that we get something in return, or we give so that we get the credit, that's not really what God meant for our generosity. And so generosity can be the same with our words and our cheerleading and our spurring on of people. It's like, are we doing that to receive something in return? Or are we doing it to earn their favor or earn that relationship? And I have to check myself on that all the time and be like, am I doing it because God nudged me to do it, or because it's the right thing to do, or because I'm wanting this exchange or this transaction to happen?
Remember in the Bible when Jesus talks about like the widow's mite, and she, you know, everybody had given all this money and they're clanking it in the plates. And then there was the woman that had like nothing, barely like a cent, and she put it in, and how much more that meant. And by the way, Courtney, this is an aside, which is how I live my life podcasting with asides. But the aside is I one time straight out of law school was so proud of myself, like had one of my first jobs. And so I wrote myself a big fancy tithe check, and I was so proud of myself and I threw it in the plate. Not that anybody could see. That wasn't the point, but I threw it in there. I was like, look at me tithing, feeling so good about myself. And the church called. This is back when you wrote checks, everyone. Okay. If I lost half the audience, bear with me. The church called, I bounced it.
No.
And so, my parents always say that the woman in the Bible had nothing on me. She gave all she had, and I gave more than I had.
That is amazing.
Literally gave more than I have. But behind that story is a reminder, I think, for all of us too, that we might be able to give, like in terms of being able to carpool or just whatever the thing is, on a much bigger level than someone else. And what seems like something meager that someone's doing that'd be easily to like scoff at, that might be like a big generous move on their part, and we just don't see it from their lane. And so I think there's just reminders in that too, that like, you haven't walked everybody else's road. You don't know what that looks like. You don't know what the sacrifice is behind something. And so stay in your own lane. And yeah, I love it. Don't keep score. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. Give more than you have. That's the second lesson.
I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm like, ooh, good reminder to me.
Me too. Okay, what's number four?
Okay, number four is a quote that comes from Andy Stanley, but it says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And I think something that held me up in the past was say, and I'll just use my world because it's what I'm in, but you can relate this to your nursing job or teaching or wherever you are. In my world, supporting someone else's work or book or podcast is really important to me, but I can't do every single person. My buddy Lisa Turkhurst said that in her DMs, she gets hundreds of thousands of DMs of people that are going through hurt. And she said every day she will just pick one and pray on it and pick one and physically call them and say, I saw your DM. I want to pray for you. Now, would she like to do that with thousands of people? Oh my gosh. But I don't want that to freeze us from loving on someone because we think, well, I can't do it the same for all, so I might as well just not do it all together. It's like, no, like we have to be willing to step into the thing God's asking us to do. And even if we go, oh, like it makes me cringe all the time because I'm like, if I feature so-and-so, what if so-and-so feels bad? And I just have to leave that discernment up to the Lord. So do for one what you can't, what you wish you could do for everyone.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really strong word. And I think that's a good one for our kids too. We have a situation, and this is, everyone calm down. We're not trying to get political here, but we have a situation in our outside of our neighborhood where there is a, I don't know if I would call it homelessness. I would call it panhandling situation. Okay. And so fall where you will on this, people. Okay. But there is a sign up now. The city has put up that said, please find other ways to give, meaning give through organizations. So like the city is saying, like, this has become such a situation that we need to do it differently. So wherever you fall on panhandlers, I have fallen on, I'm going to do what the city says because we give to a lot of other places or whatever. I tell you this because my little one, every time we pull up, he's like, Why are you not going to give them money? You don't have any money? You don't want to help them? What if they're hungry? What if their kids are hungry? Like, I get grilled every single time. And it's funny, as I'm hearing you say that, I said to him literally just yesterday, I'm like, well, you know, like, we can't help everyone in the world. And he said, but we can him. And I was like, oh my gosh, she raised a good point. And so as you're saying that, I'm thinking about that and setting aside the panhandling. I think it's so easy to get that mindset of whatever things the Lord is calling you to. For us, like, even, you know, foster care, like the foster care system is a disaster. And as a lawyer, my husband and I are like, let us spend 2 months helping you reform it or what. But you know what? We helped with one situation and the Lord with one kid. And what would that look like if all of us did the one, and especially in cheering for other women, you know, like what you're saying, find the one. You can do something mighty for someone who needs a word from you or needs to be propped up or needs to be defended. Maybe they need to just be invited, included. Like, what could that look like? And no, you can't solve whatever the big issues with the school and make everybody feel a certain, but you can for one. And I think that's a strong
word.
Let's
take something super practical. Let's take our teachers. Okay. So teachers by and large are beat down. They made it through COVID and parents are at a whole new level of nightmare. Like I have a friend that's literally about to quit after 20 years of teaching. And she's like, it's not the kids, it's the parents. I'm like, ouch. And so it's like, if they feel overworked, unseen, unappreciated, and you can't have a party for every single one of them, you could write a note to the two or three that are in your kids' lives and just say, by the way, I see you. Like, I'm so thankful you're in my kid's life. I see what you're doing. And so I love end of year gifts and all that. But I think a powerful written note to just remind somebody that you see their work could be really huge. And so I think, like you said, foster care can burden us. You have your amazing son. Teachers being seen can burden us, but just pick somebody and just start and see where it goes from there. Don't get frozen with the vastness of the need.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, number five.
Okay, this is the ball game. I think follow the Holy Spirit's nudge, which is so obvious, but it is like the most exciting lane to be in your entire life. When you hear from the Lord to say something or do something or cheer somebody on, and then it intersects with someone in a moment that they were crying out to the Lord to say, like, I don't know if I should have done this. I don't know if I should be in teaching anymore. I don't know if I'm the mom for these kids. And then when you follow through and obey, even when you feel dumb, you're like, okay, I'm just going to say the thing. I'm going to send the text. It is like a lightning strike. It is like it hits them in the core of their soul to a place that's like, I can't believe God allows us to do that. Like, we get to be his hands and feet and encouragers on this earth. And it feels really holy and really sacred. And I've done it enough times now that I'm literally addicted to encouragement in a biblical sense, in a Holy Spirit, divine kind of way.
And to live that way, like to listen, like turn off the radio, like get rid of your social media, whatever you need to do to be able to listen and be like, who needs encouragement today? Who needs me to cheerlead them? Who needs me to write the note? Who, like, that is, yeah, that's a different mindset.
Yeah.
As opposed to doing it out of obligation or like, okay, yeah, I heard a podcast. I probably need to go cheerlead Sissy Sue that's doing what I want to, you know, whatever. Instead of like, just like, let the Holy Spirit guide you. I mean,
and that's even like specifics, like I was thinking of you this morning and I flipped to, we're on Pardon the Mess or reading through your journal that you wrote called Marked by Prayer. And I was reading, we're almost there. I'm like, how does Cynthia do this? But it says, before we say goodbye, and it's a little note from you. And I'm like, how cool that I got to pray through and lead women through your work. Like that is just a really special thing that I've got to know more of your heart, and you're a great writer, like, and your heart for the Lord is so pure. And so I think not just say the thing, but say the thing specifically, like, here's why I appreciate you. It's not just like, hey, you're pretty. Like I tell my husband all the time. He's very kind. He says I'm pretty all the time. I'm like, after like 30 days of it, I'm like, get specific. Like, do you like my hair? Like, that's a terrible example, but I just,
yeah, no,
the more specific we can be with our cheerleading, I think it feels really personal to people because they know that you're not just blanket, like a form letter I'm sending out. By the way, I want to tell everyone I've ever known that I believe in you and you're amazing. It's like, no, what did God press on my heart to say to you specifically? And it can feel really special.
Yeah. And what can you say about the person when they're not in the room, which is, I think, an added thing. And I know that to be the case for you, that you've done that for me so many times because I've heard it from other people. And you know, I think also, like, I'm going kind of specific to our situation, but I think this can translate. In our situation, I could look at Pardon the Mess, or I could look at what you're doing, or that you're going through my prayer journal, you're praying, and I'm like, like that was my thing. But like, instead, what comes to me with the Lord's laid on my heart is like, that was a season I got to do that, and it lives on through you. Like, I don't need to do that anymore because he gave someone else that. So like, he's giving me new territory to forge, and how cool that what I did before is still meaningful and significant.
Absolutely.
And someone else is carrying it and putting on their twist and making it new and fresh. And so I don't have to live out of a place of, you know, bitterness or jealousy or whatever.
That's
So I guess that leads me to two things. I love your points. I'm going to run over them one more time before we're done, but a couple things. I think one of the hardest places to be probably is cheering for someone that's doing something you wish you were doing. Right. Yeah. And I don't mean even on a podcast level, everyone. I'm talking on an individual level, the person who got president of the PTA, the person who got invited on the girls trip, the person whose husband got the promotion and they bought the lake house or what, cheering on the person who has or is doing what you wish you were doing. And that's the place, like, that I think gets really hard. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I've been there for sure. And I think, just like the stories we tell, I can get in a spiral about all the things I don't have and what other people have and just focus on it. And it's informing my day. And it's almost like when you're in a spot where you're annoyed with your husband and all you can see is all the annoying habits and you forget to let go. Oh my gosh, there's so much good in this marriage. And so I think for us, it's got to be a practical thing to go like, that is real. And I've felt it before. And it is normal to go like, well, I sure would like to go on that vacation. Well, I sure would like to fit in those jeans or whatever the thing is. And then we have to pause and just redirect and say, are we spending time with the Lord? Are we asking him to show us like what we do have? And even in that jealousy, go ahead and step forward and congratulate them. Like, you know, our friend Kay wrote that book. It's like, I'm happy for you, sort of, not really. And that's what I feel sometimes. It's like, happy for you, kind of, not really. And so I think we have to force ourselves to step into, we can be happy for them and also be jealous at the same time. We can wish we had something that they had, but it's not their fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's not against you. So it's a real thing. I struggle with it myself. I make myself say the nice thing and then have to go back to the Lord and sort that out and be like, why am I creating this cycle of bitterness and jealousy and not enoughness and Lord, you've forgotten me, which is just not healthy. He's like, by the way, you forgot to look over to your left and your right of all the things that you do have.
Yeah. And I think two practical things is that I've learned is one, if you need to extricate yourself from a situation in order to maybe to not deal with that quite as much, that's okay. You and I both can admit we don't listen to each other's podcasts regularly.
Yeah.
And I won't speak for you, but for me, it was just a, I feel like I can now, but it was a healthier place for me to not walk through that at that point. Not that I don't support you 100%. You know that I check in, I will make any phone call, do anything I can to help you. But that doesn't mean if I'm walking through kind of a hard season that I can't know myself well enough to say like, now's not maybe the best time in the world for me to be all up in the business of pardon the mess of what you're doing. You said for a while you didn't listen to mine because you were like, I'm just not quite as funny as you are. And I was like, no, come on.
No, but, I really am not. And I think that was when you said, I'm not going to listen for a little bit. It gave me freedom to go, like you said, what are the healthy boundaries for a season to go? Like, I just didn't want to go straight from taking it to trying to fill your shoes and then listening to you and trying to be you. I was like, okay, Lord, how do you want me to take this over with me and what you've gifted me with and my own take on it? And then I will pop into you and Heather's every now and then, laugh my head off. I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all are so, so great. But like you said, like we started, like we're all on the same team. Like they're like, we all, if we're believers, we all want to glorify God. We want to love him and love others. And there's tricky ways and really nuanced ways to do that. And then at the end of the day, it's like, I trust if you never listen to Pardon the Mess for years that you're on my team, that you're for me. And cause I know what God brought you through to take you away from it. It's like, you're on your right path. And so am I. We both know this was a God thing for both of us. So.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads to my second point too, is just one, set up boundaries. That's okay if you need to help you to be able to cheerlead people well. But then the second thing is we've got to stop living with a scarcity mindset. Mm. And I think you taught me a lot about that. But just because someone else, quote unquote, won, it looks like they won or they got the thing or whatever, that doesn't mean you lost. Right. And so, no, do you have to be like, oh, so-and-so got the lake house, I'm just going to help him decorate it, I'm going to go furnish it. No, maybe you don't need to be in the middle of that. It might not be your season to go to that lake house, but that doesn't mean you lost either. If you get curious with people, there's stories behind, there's hard places, there's all kinds of things. And I think especially as Christians, like we've got to get out of this scarcity mindset that just because someone else had a win means that we had a loss. Like a win for someone and a win for the kingdom is a win for everybody. Yeah. And the sooner we can lean into that, then I think it gets a lot easier to prop up people and to cheer them on and to walk roads with them. So just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. I'm so glad you asked me to do this. I love preparing for talks or things just because it makes me think through what God wants to say to my own heart about it. So I needed this myself today. So thank you.
Well, thanks for being a good friend and for cheering me on as I cheer you on. And as I'm cheering you on, I'm not just doing this, everyone, because we've been talking about it. But seriously, if you aren't listening to Pardon the Mess, most of you know Pardon the Mess because you maybe knew me from there, but it's the place to be. Nobody has incredible guests like Courtney because Courtney knows the entire world. Do you not? I feel like you know everybody.
I know a lot of people, but I don't know what that, yeah, I love people.
Like she says this, and I mean this, I know Courtney well. She has not one flashy bone in her body. She's not like, but she's like, yeah, well, you know, Lisa Turkus. And I'm like, what, who?
I know, I'm sorry. Why did
no,
I
don't think that's ugly. Yeah. It's not, I mean, I love that you, like the Lord has just given you opportunities to know people. She, by the way, she's good friends with Sissy Goff. David Thomas, we adore all them, like all these. And she makes connections. She'll like, do you want me to text you that person? I'm not saying everyone reach out to Courtney and ask for connection. We're not doing that. But I'm just saying the Lord has given you the gifting of the gift of gab and connection, and you've used it so well. And so I applaud you for that. And I just think that that's cool. The Lord's given you that and that you use it so well. So thanks, friend.
Thank you. I will say, as I look at those people, that's one of the reasons Lisa and I became friends. It's like, they're just people. You know what I mean? They're just girls and guys doing their job. Same with your pastor. Like, I think a lot of us don't approach our pastor and tell them when we think they did a great job. It's like, they need encouragement too. Like, everyone is breathing needs encouragement. So don't hold back. You may not get a response if it's somebody like Lisa, but just say the thing. If God lays it on your heart, say the thing, no matter who it is.
Yeah, it's a good word. Thanks, Courtney DeFeo, for being here.
Loved it. Love you.
Love you. Bye, friend. All right, guys, super excited about this new series. I hope you loved week one, the kickoff with my friend Courtney DeFeo. Next week, we're going to talk about how do we have a healthy marriage. And then after that, we have how do I grieve? How do I survive the summer with teens? A bunch of others coming your way. And so make sure if you're not already subscribed, will you hit the subscribe button where you would listen? And also leave a review, share it with your friends. That would be a huge gift to me as we come up on the 1 year anniversary of Mesmerize. All right, you guys, so glad you're here. Thanks for being a part of the Mesmerize family. You're the very best.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Spring is in the air, and at Minky Couture, we're celebrating this joyful season with warmth, love, and the softest, coziest blankets. Whether you're cuddling up after an Easter egg hunt or gifting a little extra comfort to someone special, our luxury blankets make every moment even sweeter. From our Minky family to yours, happy Easter. May your day be filled with love, laughter, and all the cozy moments you can dream of. Visit us online at minkycouture.com or stop by one of our stores to find your perfect Minky hug today.